So part of what's really here for us is to see how we do take this territory, this theme, somehow for granted, how most of us have got some way we've handled it. Whether it's by, oh, we don't really die, we just go on to something else, you know, some other life, or, oh, we die, but it's all over, and nothing else happens. You know, both of those are just conjecture, fantasy. We don't know at all what will be beyond this. All we know is that this particular configuration ends at some point unknown. And so noticing how that affects us, and you will maybe have listened to each other a little now and have resonated with what some said, or there might be something different that was happening for you in the experience. And what happens is really that contemplating death means that we stop taking our life for granted. That's the fundamental shift that starts to happen. We stop taking our life and the life of others for granted. That there's this way in which we have this deeply held sense of projected continuity which we construct in our minds around all sorts of things. It might even be like, you know, how long is this going to go on for? You know, we're even waiting, you know, we're already looking forward to lunch because it feels like, oh God, this morning's going on, you know, sort of, you know, that sort of thing. We sort of project experience into the future. Even that right now I'm loving it. Oh, it's only a weekend. I wish it was a week. You know, and we're already projecting the fact that we're loving something as if it's going to continue that way. And we're going to love it all week if we did it all week, or love it all weekend, or I'm hating it and it's going to be miserable for the whole weekend. I wish it would be over. Maybe I won't come back after lunch, you know. Mind does this projection. And those are the kind of the micro expressions of the same tendency to solidify the current sense of experience and project it into the future, which is the sense of me existing gets solidified and projected into the future. If we take that away, or if we just question it, then everything is suddenly very different and not necessarily that easy to know how to handle. So I've said that several times. I'll probably say it several times more because it's really important that we, in a sense, normalize this experience for ourselves, i.e. recognize that it's normal and appropriate, that we might feel unsettled at times, but it's equally okay if we don't. It's really important that you don't impose on your experience here, or in fact ever, but particularly here, impose on your experience an idea of how it should be or how you should be, but really just be open to see how you are and what's here for you, and that will be your learning and your journey, and it can be as individual as we are, each of us individual, and there may be common themes as well, of course. So not taking life for granted, you know, this is something that, again, that sense of, you know, it's sunny, it's bright, shouldn't we enjoy what's lovely? And yet the association we have with thinking about or contemplating death as if it's somehow gloomy, depressing, macabre, dark, you know, and all those things that are pretty socially unwelcome in our culture. And for many of us, kind of unwelcome in our psyches as well. That association with death is kind of part of what arises when we have a distant and somewhat disconnected relationship to it. When we're kind of not looking at it, when we're kind of trying to look away from it, it's right there. A little bit as the lady said here, you know, when it arises, actually, maybe it was the gentleman here. I can't remember now. Sorry, excuse me. Somebody said over here, at least I know the location, you know, that one encounters the experience of being unwell, and it's actually scary, but actually contemplating it directly and turning towards it, like in the fear, there's a turning away from it. Turning away from it. I remember very similar kind of thing when I was, I got very ill when I was travelling in Asia, and I was in a hospital in India, and after all the tests, the doctors came and said, well, we think it might be hepatitis, and it might be malaria, and it could be both.
And my mind just spun out into, this is it, I'm going to die here in a hospital in New Delhi. This is the end. And nobody knows I'm here. And, you know, just that catastrophizing fear. It's very different. Because all of that was, I don't want to. I don't want this to happen. How could this happen? I don't want it to happen. You know? But the sense, oh, yeah, this happens. It's very different. Very different. And so what it actually brings out, what I notice, what I feel is, and it's sort of in the fear as well, but contemplating death in this way, one actually starts to feel the sense of what's precious in life. It is scary to contemplate the loss of what we love. But all too often we notice what it is we don't like about life. We focus on the things that are irritating, frustrating, not the way I would have set them up if I was in charge. Yeah? That's what we tend to focus on so often. And yet when we contemplate death, what one of the things that happens is we start to notice, oh my gosh, okay, so things aren't exactly set up perfectly. And certainly the people I love are not always doing the things that I want them to do. I don't know if that happens to you as well, but certainly for me. Now and then, it happens that way. Yeah? And yet you suddenly realise that's kind of relatively small change compared to the preciousness of the fact that we're here at all, the remarkableness of this, and that we maybe don't take this for granted so much. In a monastery that I visit in West Sussex, some of you may know, the Chithurst Buddhist Monastery, Chittavaveka, the abbot is Ajahn Sucitto, an English Buddhist monk. He's a friend and a teacher I'm very fond of. And I go there, and there's a little plaque in one place. There's a place there where there's a number of different remembrance stones or offerings or little plaques and that on the monastery grounds. But there's one that always touches me incredibly, and I go to visit not so often, but when I do, I go to this place and just take a moment there. And it's the sense of preciousness that it evokes, something precious that's expressed in a sign. And on this little sign is inscribed the words of a poem, which I won't get word perfect, but it's basically, the cherry blossoms cover the hillside for but a few days. Any longer, and we would not treasure them so. And underneath is written a name, Little Sammy, and a single date. And the sense for me of what that expresses, of the preciousness of a life that was just in one day, born and died. And I've talked about this and shared it on many occasions, and I still feel when I just let myself stop with that. That this being was born and died in a day. And for the people for whom he was their child or their family, the preciousness and the beauty of that being was clearly revealed and perhaps amplified by the fact that his life was just that short. And so there's this way in which, if we really let this in, if we're talking about it, letting it in, we are letting it in actually. Just coming here, you're letting it in. It's like, oh wow. You know? That preciousness is each of us, each day, actually. But we don't see it so easily. We don't remember it so fully. But we could, and we can, and this is one of the gifts of this practice of contemplating death, the preciousness of this human life, of the lives of every person we ever encountered and will ever encounter, and of ourselves, this being we encounter rather regularly, who also doesn't somehow show up the way we wish that we would, doesn't always do what we would prefer ourselves to do. Have you noticed that too? And how it's really easy to be irritated about all of those things about oneself, and yet if we set that beside the preciousness of this existence, that we are, would we not have a different relationship to those places where we're struggling, learning, or just, you know, messing up badly in our lives against the fact that we're here doing what we can do, which is inevitably our best by definition. No one else ever tried to do anything less than that. Sure, someone.
Would you say that again?
Okay, sure. Sorry, I'll repeat the words from the. Now you'll catch me because I'll probably say it differently. There is actually somewhere in my files have the name of the poet, but and the actual words, but they're not right here. The cherry blossoms cover the hillsides for but a few days. Any longer, and we would not treasure them so. I think it's a haiku, and that's probably a translation, so it may not be word perfect. It certainly seems probably Japanese poet from the name, if I remember. Is my volume dropping sometimes? So any time it does, do not hesitate to wave and tell me. I won't think you're saying hello. I'll get it pretty quickly. So just as I observed with someone speaking here, when we're talking about different things that resonate, sometimes we drop in, it happens to me, and it's fine for me to be encouraged to speak up. Thank you for asking, and please again, if it's needed, anyone. This is, I mean, one of the things this topic says to us is don't stand on ceremony. Go with what's true rather than what's socially normal. So that's quite a bit of words and teaching. What might be useful is for those who wish to stand up, stretch and move, and then we'll have a short period of sitting before lunch, which will be at 1 o'clock, and I'll say how that will work, or approximately how that will work. If anyone needs to use the loo right now, need to slip out and come back, but in 15 minutes we'll all be doing that. So, but if you don't need to move, that's fine. But if you'd like to stand up, stretch, breathe, bend any part of the body that needs to bend, or straighten any part that needs to straighten, and kind of listen to your body when you do this, because again, these are precious things, vehicles, they're alive, aren't they, these bodies? And we can sometimes treat them like objects or sort of somehow vehicles for our conveyance and convenience rather than what it is that they are, which is miraculous. So, yeah, just listening, seeing, feeling. And without in any way needing to rush, once you've done what you need to do, just find your way back down to your cushion, or your seat, or your bench.